This is Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
JBL Tour Pro 3 earbuds are for those who don't conform to the standard.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get into some touchscreen technology, how about the smart charging case, clear sound? These are not standard things. You're only going to get them with the JBL Tour Pro 3, baby.
And I love the sound of JBL when it goes... These earbuds are packed with innovation because you can't stand out by following others.
Touchscreen smart charging case for one-touch control, instant EQ customization, true adaptive noise canceling, and the one-of-a-kind audio transmitter, which can plug and play with everything from game consoles to in-flight entertainment. What more could you want? First doesn't follow. Grab a pair at JBL.com.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion, it's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
Let's move on to another case that a lot of us have been talking about, and people who don't know how to navigate life in any sort of way that's not going to continue to cause outrage at them. She shot a mother through a locked door, four kids, then watched their mom die. And now from a prison cell, she's written a letter saying that she is the victim, threatening to sue those same kids for defamation. This is the story of Susan Lawrence, the perfect neighbor, and the kind of twisted self-pity that somehow survives even after conviction. Eric Faddis, former prosecutor and defense attorney, with us to break all of this down. And, you know, I thought maybe we were done with this story until Susan decided to threaten the children through a handwritten letter that she wants to sue them for defamation and libel from prison. I'm assuming you probably have had a chance to take a look at the lovely handwritten letter. From a legal standpoint, where does this stand?
Gosh, if I am her attorney or even formerly her attorney, I am just, you know, slamming my head on the desk saying, why in the world didn't you send this letter to your attorney first, right, before having it be in the public domain? Not only the optics, obviously horrible. She killed somebody unjustifiably, a mother who's left, you know, children without their parental figure now. But on top of that, now she's saying, hey, let me go after the kids. I've already, you know, if she hasn't done enough harm to this family's life already, my gosh, let me continue to antagonize these minors. It is just kind of shocking and so tone deaf, so detached from reality.
Is there any scenario here where the Owens family, those kids, even need to respond to this legally, or can this just sit out in the ether?
The letter itself, it is not a formal legal document commencing a legal action. So the defendant would have to take further measures to actually bring a counterclaim of defamation and formally file that. And until that happens, the Owens family has no legal obligation to discuss it. You know, it sounds like Susan was trying to sort of gain some leverage in this wrongful death case that's going on, a civil case that has fallen the criminal prosecution. But this is not the way to do it for so many reasons. It doesn't really confer any significant legal leverage and is only she's just digging herself a bigger hole.
How do you get control of a client like that? I mean, you've represented offenders, and I'm sure there's been several that just can't accept guilt sometimes. I mean, what is happening there psychologically when someone still claims victimhood after a clear conviction and just continues to dig their hole deeper? How do you get that under control?
Yeah, you know, Tony, I've seen clients who are similar to her who have my appraisal is that it is so difficult for them to come to grips with what they've done, to accept the guilt, to accept the shame that might come from that, that instead, if they can just be in denial and sort of fabricate this rosy world in which they are actually the victim and they're actually the righteous one, it's a little more comfortable to live in that world, even if everyone's saying, hey, that world doesn't exist. What are you thinking? And sometimes there is no way to reach these folks. You know, you can have a come to Jesus talk. You can show them evidence. And oftentimes that is not sufficient to dispel them of this myth that they've created about themselves and their actions.
This is obviously a case that we're watching, you know, we're keeping an eye on it. We're watching it closely. We're seeing the interactions and all the movements that anyone does in this, you know, microcosm here. How common is it where you have the offenders behind bars, the ones that clearly are guilty of their crime, but just cannot accept it? How often and how common is it where they are drafting their own legal filings and things like this, even after the rest of the world has moved on, because they know of their guilt, but that person just can't accept the consequences?
It incredibly more common than most people would think. And my firm still gets letters at least weekly, if not more frequently, from incarcerated folks. And hey, look, some of them are falsely convicted. Some of them shouldn't be in there.
Sure.
Some of them didn't do it. There are ones where you read it and then you look up the case and you look up the alleged facts, you look at what a jury found, and you're like, gosh, that doesn't seem that seems like a complete departure from what's written in this letter. And they'll send the letters to lawyers, they'll send it to the court, they'll send it to prosecutors, they'll send it to news agencies. They got a lot of time on their hands and they feel like they weren't heard. Whether that's true or not is a different question, but they put forth so much effort to propound their narrative the way that they see it, regardless of outside circumstances and kind of objective determinations to the contrary.
Gen Z 367 says they should put her and Donna Adelson together.
Yes, that would be a great show. What
the battle of the narcissists is what
cage
she
match.
Said.
Cage
nightmare
match.
Blood rotation. Yikes.
That'd be great. The two really, they do remind me of each other a lot. Mm-hmm. I've been thinking the same thing of just, you know, they are the persecuted ones and what do you do? Is anyone under any sort of legal obligation if she doesn't have an attorney anymore? And I don't know what her status is, if she has a public defender or if she has a paid attorney, whatever it may be. Is anyone, a public defender, under any sort of obligation now that she's incarcerated, now that she's going to be spending the next 25 years of her life, she'll probably die in prison. Is anyone under any sort of obligation to do anything with the random shit she puts on a piece of paper and makes claims about and sends out and says it's a legal document? Does anyone have to do anything or file anything whatsoever for her?
Well, you raise a good point, because usually courts will look at pro se unrepresented folks and what they're submitting, and they'll give them a lot of leeway. They'll give them the benefit of the doubt. And sometimes even if the letter doesn't conform to these sort of formatting rules and stuff like that when it comes to a legal filing, a motion or something like that. Sometimes the court will look at it and say, it's pretty much a motion. This is pretty much a motion to add a counterclaim of defamation. And so there's at least a chance that her writings might be viewed as such in the ongoing wrongful death case. And if that were how it was viewed by a judge, perhaps she has raised a claim of defamation, and then that would require the other side to respond. I think it's unlikely, but judges give pro se folks a lot of, leeway on, stuff like this.
And essentially, that's just re-victimizing the, people. It's re-victimizing these kids. It's re-victimizing whoever is going to have to foot the bill for trying to defend themselves against a monster who's claiming, "You call me a monster. Well, you shot through a door and didn't know who was on the other side and killed a woman. So, yeah, you technically fit that bill." But if she's claiming and screaming and saying on paper, "I'm not a monster," those people still then have to find the resources to defend themselves against said monster again. That just doesn't seem right.
Totally. And one thing these measures sometimes do is they really cause congestion within the courts. They cause delay in certain cases, which is a delay of justice for the litigants. You know, the family members want to have some civil remedy for, their mother being feloniously and wrongfully taken out of their lives. And this is just going to add, you know, if it is considered a legal filing, months potentially to when that justice might actually occur, if it ever occurs. And on top of that, it's going to cause the lawyers to do more work. Perhaps, I don't know their billing structure in the case, but perhaps that causes more of an economic burden on the litigants, on the plaintiffs themselves. And so, they, you know, these unrepresented folks can really muck up the process and delay justice, sometimes rightfully, but oftentimes wrongfully.
When and how does a judge step in and just say, "Nope, this is nothing"? Like, "Nope, we're not going to waste our time. We're not going to do any of this." Or are they obligated to hear some of these things, no matter how absurd they may be?
They're probably obligated to at least review whatever has been submitted to them, to review the letter. But as cases go on, I've seen judges sort of receive, you know, they begin receiving like letters every week from, a defendant or something. And at some point they say, "Hey, you're abusing this process. You have never submitted anything that has merit." And so, you know, that is the lens through which they're going to view future submissions. And ultimately, they usually can't, you can't silence them, though. You can't say, "Hey, don't ever send me a letter again," because that could be viewed as a constitutional violation and inure some benefit to the offender behind bars. So it really, like I said, can congest the legal system when these types of, filings by unrepresented folks are submitted.
So these people, instead of craft time, they're sitting here drafting letters instead of making like origami swans.
But possibly both, you know, there's they got a lot of time in there. And yeah, you should see how many submissions we receive as a law firm alone from incarcerated folks.
Is there any assumption of privacy when a letter like this is sent out, or if you're sending it out from prison? Are you going to assume it's going to get out, like in this case, that it's going to further destroy what any shred of reputation you may have out there in the public ether? Or I guess that's the other part of it, public shaming on this. Does that maybe make one think twice before writing a letter like this and throwing it out into the ether if one is so concerned about their how the public views them?
You know, Tony, for some, there certainly could be that disincentive. But for others, I think some of them are so in denial. They've distorted reality so much that they think the public likes them. They think, "Oh, the public must agree with me," that at least a large portion of them, because how could they not? I'm in the right here, obviously. And this is such a persecution. And so that they perhaps have this expectation that this ridiculous belief that, that people might side with them if they keep doing it. And I, unfortunately, I think that is a lot more common than we think.
Yeah. It's nuts. Anything in the comments on this, Stacey?
Yeah, Gen Z again said, all I can hear is the Mortal Kombat song in my head. Some great comments today.
Yeah, I can see. I was surprised. I mean, she looks more and more like the Wicked Witch of the West, mm-hmm. the more every time we see her. Doesn't she?
I think I said that immediately, that she reminds me of Margaret Hamilton, who played the Wicked Witch. Yeah, she looks like her.
Which every is time a very big cut to poor Margaret Hamilton.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. She's a lovely lady. I met her when she was alive, and she was very sweet. She was not a witch at all, but she played it. She played it well.
You said that the other day, and it's, every time I see a picture of her now, she's just looking more and more like the Wicked mm-hmm. Witch. It's kind of crazy. Eric Faddis, defense attorney, former prosecutor, as always, thank you so much for coming on and giving us your insight into these cases. We do greatly appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Until next time, for Stacey and Todd and all of us, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Extra Value Meals are back. For just $5, get a savory and sweet sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles, plus hash browns and a coffee. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.